We're going to be looking at some school supplies, but I want you to kind of help me. All right, you kind of move around. All right, move around. Yep. I want you to kind of help me. Veteran students, that's just another name for your old. So veteran students and current students, help me to say some of the things, some of the school supplies that you really thought or think, if you're a current student, were cool or are cool. School supplies that you really thought were cool, if you're a veteran student, or you think are cool right now. Absolutely. All right, skip. Let's see where that right there. Yes, yes. That was one of my favorite too. I'm like, man, you can get four colors in one? Wow. That's really, and then the clicker would stop working and it's like, all right. Okay, what else? Angelo. Bendy pencil. Yes. Okay, the bendy pencil.
The scented markers.
What else? You can be seated now, by the way. You can be seated. Go ahead. Poke holes in the block eraser. So anybody that doesn't like to see a bunch of holes would not like that. Chris?
I like the graphing calculator because
you can get Mario on it. You can get Mario? I never knew that. Wow. Okay, Jessica.
So similar, scratch and sniff erasers.
Scratch and sniff erasers. All right, Rob? All right, here we go. Trapper Keeper, right? That was one of my favorites. I remember when these came out. Trapper Keeper, yes. What? Christy's like, what is that? It has like Velcro and you can open it. You've got all these things inside. They were really cool. The cool kids had Trapper Keepers, you know, when I was younger. You can actually get these at Walmart right now. So they're like coming back.
I remember this is back before all of you.
Oh.
We had to have glue. And I remember some kids eating it.
Base. Okay. Wow. So, illegal glue, sniffing glue right there. Okay. All right, let me show you another one of mine. So the copper, silver, and gold crayons. I usually got like the 20 crayon box, but I remember a kid in my class, he would get like the 70-something crayon box, and it would have silver, gold, and the copper. And I was always a little jealous because those were the cool crayons, all right? So I want to go through as we finish up this morning some essential school supplies. As you face school, as you kind of go into, you know, your new school year, I would assume, and if this isn't true, please don't let us know here in public, but I would assume that all of you kids are going into a new grade, hopefully. Hopefully you're not, you know, repeating a grade, but hopefully you're going into a new grade. How many of you students, K through 12, are going to a new school? Going to a new school, raise your hand if you're going, raise it high if you're going to a new school, okay? And this could be like middle school, going into high school, but you're going to a new school. Raise it again. Great. How many of you think you're going to have a new teacher or teachers? All right, some new teachers. Maybe a new student or students in your class. How many of you are going to try a new sport or extracurricular activity? Raise your hand. All right, so all of these things are reasons that you could get kind of worried and think, how is this year going to play out? And so I want you to think, when you have a notebook and you have your pen, you probably have in your head how you would love this year to turn out. And you maybe have even written some out. Some of you who journal, I've dreamed of being a good journaler at times, but that's about as far as it got. So if you're a good journaler, you may have even written in your journal already how you hope this year will end. But I want, as you look at your notebook throughout the year, whether it's this or another one, I hope you'll remember and allow, you'll trust God and allow Him to write your story. So as we oftentimes, you know, we'll write out or we'll think out in our head, you know, this is what I want my year to look like. This is what I want my life to look like. And then we just say, hey, God, can you approve of that? Can you make this happen? But I hope that you will say, God, I trust you. Will you write my story? Jesus, He didn't just change schools, but He came to be God with us, Emmanuel. So He left the glory of heaven, and then He embraced and accepted the grueling reality of earth to be with us, to be with sinners. Christ knows exactly what it means, and this was not a term back in His time, the incarnation of Christ, but Christ knows what it means to be bullied. Christ knows what it means to be rejected. If you think about the story as He was headed to the high priest to be tried and questioned, All of his disciples abandoned him. Peter was kind of watching from afar. But Jesus knew full well what it meant like to have some of his friends leave him. Jesus knew what it was like to face new challenges. If you think about it, before he came and took upon the form of flesh, the form of man, Jesus never knew, he never experienced personally, now he's God, so he knows all things, but as you think about the human side of it, he had never experienced hunger. He'd never experienced exhaustion. So there are many, many new challenges that he faced as he willingly and temporarily set aside some of his divine attributes to become fully God, or to become fully man, rather, as he continued to be fully God. That's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So there's some passages that I want to remind you of and think about as you look and trust in God. One, this is all summed up beautifully in Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are." So let's imagine this. If you start school, whether it's tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, or even some of you next week, and imagine if Christ were to come in the flesh and sit across from you at the table in your cafeteria. There's one phrase you would not be able to truthfully say to Jesus Christ. You would not be able to look at him and say, "Jesus, you just don't understand." Because Jesus would say, "Actually, I do." Because the Bible tells us and promises us that he's been tempted in every way like we are. But notice the best part of this verse, "yet without sin." So he has gained the victory, and he wants to give us that opportunity to have victory in him as well. So these are reasons that we should look to him, that we can look to him and trust him to write our story this year. Second school supply, I believe, is the... Okay, look, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, two verses that I've kind of claimed as my life verses. But verse 5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge" who? "Him, and he will make straight your paths." So I hope you'll let your notebook and pen remind you that you can trust him and you'll trust him to write your story. Another thing we have is a ruler. Okay, many of you are going to have a ruler. You'll use a ruler sometime throughout the year. And you may have heard me even use this illustration. It's not new to me, but as we think about all types of truths and religions and ideas that exist in the world and just the confusion sometimes that can cause, I hope the ruler will remind you that God is truth and his word can help you to measure truth. God is truth and his word can help you to measure truth. If I were to ask some of you today, you know, give me an estimate of how long you think this is, I'd probably get several answers of how long, if we were to measure this, how long you thought that would be. The only way we could find out is to take a ruler or a tape measure and measure it, and we would know the truth. That's what God and Jesus Christ and his word does for us. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way and the what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." A few chapters later in John 17, we often call it his high priestly prayer, and he goes through that, hey, we're not of the world, that he's not of the world, his followers aren't of the world, but then part of his prayer is this, "They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world." And then in verse 17, "Sanctify them," or "set them apart." So yes, they're in the world, but they're not of it. They should not be a part of that as followers of Christ. So sanctify them or set them apart in the truth. And help me say these last few words, "Your word is truth." Let's say that again. Your word is truth. As you go to school, as you learn things, as you hear things about in science, about creation or against creation, as you hear different things, even about the genders of men and women and human sexuality and all these things, you will hear things most likely that go against God's word. And so I pray that as you look at your ruler, you'll be reminded God is truth and his word will help you to measure all truth. Secondly, bring this up here in a few pictures. All right, help me out. Okay, yes, that's right. Okay, next one here. It's already been said. Who is it? Spartans, Northwest Classical Academy. All right, so that's Spartans. Next one. Who's this? Allatoona. Allatoona High School, Buccaneers. Okay, great. Next one. Dominion Christian Knights. Dominion Christian Knights. All right. Eagles from what school, maybe, locally? Represented in our church right here. Mount Perrin, yes. Spoken by a Mount Perrin student in the back. Mount Perrin Eagles. All right, Floresta girls, can you help me out? Where are you at? You recognize that at all? From what? That's from her school, Miles Ahead Charter School. That's awesome.
Miles Ahead Charter School.
Yes, that's great. All right.
I'm going to Kinder Hearts.
Oh, Kinder Hearts? Okay, yes, right, whatever. Fantastic. All right, what about this one? Trojans, Lassiter High School Trojans. So, as you wear maybe a uniform, or as you put on a PE thing, or as you have Spirit Day, maybe you'll wear a shirt kind of like this to whatever school that you're a part of, I pray that most importantly, yes, represent your school well, but above all, remember that you represent your Savior. As you're a follower of Christ, as you walk into the school, you may be a Trojan, you might be a Spartan, you may be an Eagle, you may be at Miles Ahead Charter School, but you are most importantly representing Jesus Christ as your Savior and as you follow Him. We see in John 13, 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you," Jesus says, "that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." By this, the next verse says, by this, which is what? What's he referring to? So by this, or by the love that you share, what's going to happen? You can tell me in your own words. Everybody's going to know. So no, I mean, yes, some of you may wear a Christian, you know, fish symbol or something like that, or you might be FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and you may wear a shirt like that to school. But beyond those things, you may not have a logo to wear to represent Jesus Christ, but you do have love to show. That as you show that love day in and day out, as you sit across from students who may, other students may not want to sit with in the cafeteria, as you show respect to your teacher, as you're kind and show the love of Christ in the hallway, they will know that you are a follower of Christ. That's a promise of Scripture. So as you think about your uniform, never forget that, yeah, represent your school well, but above all, represent Jesus Christ. I'm your personal Savior. Another extremely important school supply are erasers. Now, these are not, they don't have any special, you know, scents or anything like that, but you're the eraser. Why is that? Because we're sinners. And I guarantee you, I'm not like this special prophet, but I guarantee you without fail, you're going to do some things this year. Let's just take it on the technical side. You will use an eraser to erase something on a paper, or if you're on a laptop, you'll use the backspace. You will do something like, no, I need to kind of back that up a little bit. But then spiritually speaking, you will do something this year that will remind you, boy, I need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I've done something, and that is not the right thing to do. And you may not be able to take that action back, but I hope it'll remind you that forgiveness, God has forgiven you, and He wants you to forgive others. When I was in second grade, I had a teacher named, let's just call her Mrs. Ferris. And I did not like her. She was extremely strict and very demanding. So I was in a small Christian school in Albany, Georgia. My best friend, Nathan Wellbaum, and I were after school in the school auditorium, which happened to be the church auditorium as well. My dad was the pastor of the church. And I don't know why we were in the auditorium with all the lights out. All I remember were these red, you know, all the lights were these red, like, exit emergency signs. So like these glows over the doorways, but then everything else was dark. And Nathan and I were in there, and we began somehow to talk about Mrs. Ferris. Yeah, Mrs. Ferris, she's just ugly. I mean, she's not a good teacher. She's strict. She does this. And then all of a sudden, from the back of the auditorium, I hear a very familiar voice. David, I hear what you're saying about me. It was the Mrs. Ferris. And Nathan and I began to dart towards the exit sign so we could leave the auditorium as quickly as possible. But I knew all that I've just said will soon be relayed to my dad, who's the pastor and president of the school. And so that evening, I got in serious trouble. Beyond that, you know, dad would talk me through, okay, you need to ask forgiveness from God and all that. Like, okay, you know, God forgive me. And David, you need to call Mrs. Ferris. Oh, so I had to call this little second grader, Mrs. Ferris, and ask forgiveness. But the Bible promises us that God is ready to forgive. So as you use an eraser, whether a physical eraser or a digital, the backspace, delete, whatever it may be, remember that God forgave you and He wants you to be ready to forgive others. Some passages of Scripture. In Colossians, we see Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, notice this, as the Lord has forgiven you. Amen? Are you thankful that God at any moment is ready to erase and forgive some stupid things and sinful things that you and I have done and will do? Boy, I sure am. I'm thankful that as God has forgiven us, we can also forgive others. And above all these, verse 14, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Last thing is, I hope that another school supply is your highlighter. Now, I think all K-5 through 12th graders have received a highlighter, so I want you to get that out right now. I want you to get your highlighter out. And on the little paper that you have, I want you to pick the color highlighter that you think is cool, and I want you to highlight the last three words, plan to thrive. All right? So open those up. Pick the highlighter color you want, and I want you to highlight. Don't just think about how you will survive this year or how to survive, but I want you to plan to thrive, and I want you to highlight that in whatever color you choose with a highlighter. Sometimes as we look at new experiences, we just think, man, God, help me get through this. Some of you have recently moved to this area, and you're facing a lot of new things. You maybe are facing new jobs. I just met some students who came in last night to begin PhD studies. There are a lot of new things that you all are going to face. But with Christ and in Christ, and you'll notice on your little highlighter, students, my wife beautifully wrote in her penmanship, it's not mine, thankfully, but in her penmanship, she says, in Christ, you are, and then all those things that are on that pen, are on that highlighter. So as you have a life in Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you don't just have to think, boy, God, help me to survive this year. But you can really begin to pray and believe, Lord, help me to thrive. Help me to have a wonderful year in Christ. John 10 and verse 10 says, he makes a promise. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it abundantly. My 10th grade year was a difficult year for me because I had just come out. Our school, the way we did it at that point, 7th, 8th, and 9th was JV sports. 10th, 11th, and 12th was varsity sports. In 9th grade, I was MVP football player for our school. In 9th grade, I was one of the top basketball players for our school. In 10th grade, that all changed. So in 10th grade, I didn't have a whole lot of playing time in football. And as I am today, I was pretty small on the varsity team. I remember one time getting put on a punt return. I'm like, Coach, seriously, you want me to be on a punt return? I'm going to get pummeled. Hey, go, David. Yeah, we'll tape it up. Whatever, go. And so I run in there, and I do. I get smacked, you know, and everybody's like, oh, is he going to get up? And I jump up. Okay, great, he got up. So basketball was similar. I didn't get a whole lot of playing time. Kim was a cheerleader. She's a junior. I'm in 10th grade. I want to impress her, and I didn't get much playing time unless we were killing the other opponents in the last few seconds of the game. Coach was like, David, get in. Or if we were losing by 30 points, like, David, get in. That's more embarrassing than not playing at all. You know, it's just like, okay, here we go. It was a hard year. It was humbling. Being big dog in ninth grade and then kind of nothing in sports in 10th grade, it helped me to reevaluate. It forced me to reevaluate, what is life really all about? And am I just going to kind of survive this year and just try to kind of make it through? And am I going to become so enthralled and so just kept up with sports that I forget the focus of everything else? Or Lord, will I give this to you, do my best, but then allow you to help me to thrive? And you're going to face some things. It may not be sports for you, but it may be some other things. Friends that were friends with you last year who aren't this year. Teachers who you loved last year, but they're not your teachers this year. And you may get a teacher who your reputation has kind of preceded you, and the teacher kind of has it out for you. So there may be some things that can rob or steal or destroy. And as you allow those things, even as a follower of Christ, as you get consumed with some of those thoughts and actions, it can lead you not to destruction and hell, but it can leave you to be distracted from what life can be like and should be like in Christ. So I pray that as you are in Christ, if you are, you know Christ as your Savior, you just won't think, God, help me to survive, but Lord, help me to thrive. Help me to lead. Help me to love. Help me to pour into others around me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes as we finish this morning?